ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय आयं तु लोकपालानां यशोग्नो निरपत्रपा सद्भिराचरितापन्थान स्तब्धेन दुष्टता आयं तु लोकपालानां यशोग्नो निरपत्रपा सद्भिराचरितापन्थान स्तब्धेन दुष्टता आयं हि वर्षव तु बात लोकपालानां of the governors of the universe. Yashagna, spoiling the fame. Nirapatrapaha, shameless. Sadvihi, of those, by those of gentle manner. Acharita, followed. Pantha, the path. Yena, by whom? Lord Shiva. Stabdhena, being devoid of proper actions. Dushitaha, is polluted. Okay, get ready for some offensive words. Shiva has spoiled the name and fame of the governors of the universe and has polluted the path of gentle manners. Because he is shameless, he does not know how to act. Poor fellow, Daksha's gonna get it. Purport. Daksha wanted to impress upon the minds of all the great sages assembled in that meeting that Shiva, being one of the demigods, had ruined the good reputation of all the demigods by his unmannerly behavior. The words used against Lord Shiva by Daksha can be understood in a different way, in a good sense. For example, he stated that Shiva is Yashogna, which means one who spoils the name and fame. This can also be interpreted to mean that he was so famous that his fame killed all other fame. Again, Daksha used the word Nirapatrapa, and that's shameless, which can also be used in two senses. One sense is one who is stunted or shameless. And another sense is one who is the maintainer of persons who have no other shelter. Generally, Lord Shiva is known as the Lord of the Bhutas, or lower grade of living creatures. They take shelter of Lord Shiva because he is very kind to everyone and is very quickly satisfied. Therefore, he is called Ashutosh. To such men who cannot approach other demigods or Vishnu, Lord Shiva gives shelter. Therefore, the word Nirapatrapa can be used in that sense. I'm going to read ahead a bit to what is issue is with Lord Shiva. He didn't stand to respect me. That's his issue. Text 11. He has already accepted himself as my subordinate, by marrying my daughter in the presence of fire and brahmanas. He has married my daughter, who is equal to Gayatri, and has pretended to be just like an honest person. Purport. Daksha's statement that Lord Shiva pretended to be an honest person means that Lord Shiva was dishonest, because in spite of accepting the position of Daksha's son-in-law, he was not respectful to Daksha. Text 12. He has eyes like a monkey's, and yet he has married my daughter, who has eyes just like those of a deer cub. Nevertheless, he did not stand up to receive me, nor did he think it fit to welcome me with sweet words. So he's making up for it. Text 13. I had no desire to give my daughter to this person who has broken all rules of civility. Because of not observing the required rules and regulations, he is impure. But I was obliged to hand over my daughter to him, just as one teaches the messages of the Vedas to a Shudra. Wow. Poor Daksha. Purport. A Shudra is forbidden to take lessons from the Vedas because a Shudra, due to his unclean habits, is not worthy to hear such instructions. This restriction, that unless one has acquired the brahminical qualifications, one should not read the Vedic literatures, is like the restriction that a law student should not enter a law college unless he has been graduated from all lower grades. According to the estimation of Daksha, Shiva was unclean in habits and not worthy to have the hand of his daughter Sati, who was so enlightened, beautiful, and chaste. The word used in this connection is bhina setave, which refers to one who has broken all the regulations for good behavior by not following the Vedic principles. In other words, according to Daksha, the entire transaction of the marriage of his daughter with Shiva was not in order. So his offensiveness continues for some more verses. We'll stop with that. Going back to the verse we discussed yesterday, this is all springing out of envy. And as we discussed, the nature of envy is for one who is in a superior position, one tries to bring him down. One who is in a peer position, one competes. And one who is in the inferior position, stand on their head. So, the mentality itself, before you even get started, the mentality is offensive. That is to say, in all circumstances, there should be respect, fundamental respect for, here's a soul that's part and parcel of Krishna. Just this morning I was hearing Prabhupada describe the Pandita Samadarshana verse. He was explaining that a learned person, Pandit, or a yogi, a realized personality, understands that Krishna is within the heart, of every living being, factually, he's there. And therefore, unto Krishna he offers his respect to that person, and by offering respect to that person, he's offering respect to Krishna. It's the training that we received, and when seeing another Vaishnava in our temple, training was like this. You see another Vaishnava and you pay your obeisances first thing in the morning, and by so doing you're offering your respects to the person who is representing the Supreme Person. In the Uttama Adhikari position, one sees Krishna within the heart of all beings and offers respect to all beings, regardless of whether they're Vaishnava or not, whether they're human being or not. Their respect goes to all living beings because Krishna is within the heart. It's just like, you know, whether there's a temple, maybe big, grand, palatial, fabulous, gorgeous, expensive building, or maybe a simple temple. The Supreme Lord is within, and so respect goes to the... In fact, Prabhupada gave this very example. Respect goes to the place where the Lord resides, the temple. So the heart is the residing place of the Supreme Lord. And the marking of tilak, if you're asked by somebody when you're wearing tilak, hopefully you sometimes wear tilak when you're in public, and if people ask you, I was checking in an airport somewhere, and the lady behind the counter was doing her thing on the computer and looking up and said, "Oh, you have a mark on your forehead. What's that? Does that have some religious significance?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "What's the significance?" I said, it marks the body as a temple of God." And she stopped her typing and looked up and said, "That's very nice." And so I took the cue and said, "Just like on top of a church, there's a steeple. And the top of the steeple, there's a cross, or in a mosque, there's a mark of that religion. And so this is a mark that means the body is a temple of God, which means within the body, there's a form of God within the heart. And that's what the mark means. This is the temple of God." "That's very nice." And so I went further and said, "That means whatever comes out of the body, whatever goes into the body, has to be with respect that this is the temple. So we don't do certain things inside the church or the temple or synagogue or mosque. And we don't put things in and things don't come out that's not appropriate for a temple." I lost her by that time. "Your boarding pass, have a nice trip." But So fundamentally, respect goes to others. And what is our teaching from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shikshastakam, number 3, Amanina Manadena? Kirtaniya Sadahari. Ready to offer all respect to other without any expectation of respect in return. That's the catch. Being respectful, generally, we expect something back. It's one of these things that I hear from grihasthas. They're complaining about their in-laws. "I try so hard to please my in-laws, and no matter what I do, they're always complaining. It's not enough, and it's not right, and what do I do?" Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. If you have an expectation, then it's not complete. It's not the right position. Offer respect and no expectation of respect in return. And, you know, fill in the blank with all the different relationships that we have, where we do something and we're expecting something. We don't get that something back and we get bent out of shape. Got some problem with the person that doesn't respect. But so the issue that Daksha has with Lord Shiva is, I'm superior and he's inferior. And because he's inferior, he should show respect to me because I'm superior and he's inferior. Like, that's the starting point. Not following Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Trinadapi sunichena toro rivasihishana amanida amanadi. So, failing with that, instead of chanting the holy name of the Lord always, he's offending a great personality. Pride and envy. So, it's true that the father-in-law should be offered respect by the son-in-law. In this case, the son-in-law is superior. We discussed this yesterday also, that there's levels of seniority, and one of them is who's older. And then there are other considerations of seniority. And ultimately, Krishna consciousness is the nearness and dearness to Krishna. And Lord Shiva's position is, he's the best of all of those who are near and dear to Krishna. At least one verse speaks like that. We can think of others that are especially near and dear to Krishna or Vishnu. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu is the, amongst Vaishnavas, he's the best. And there's others who are best also. But therefore he is to be offered respect. So, while etiquette should be observed, and one who does not observe etiquette, there's some fault. How does one address oneself when, at least apparently, from the eyes of Daksha, there's some fault? He's my son-in-law. He didn't offer me respect. Now, the language that he's using is so grotesque. His eyes like a monkey's. My daughter has eyes like a deer cub. So she's so superior to my son-in-law. And yet he has the audacity to not offer me respect. So that's not how one addresses whatever there might be. If there's some, if there's some fault or some discrepancy, the cultured person, as Daksha is presenting himself as a refined, elevated, cultured person. A refined, elevated, cultured person doesn't conduct himself the way that Daksha is doing, even if it was the case. That someone has made a fault or some mistake. He's bringing out other cultural points. Cultural point is that someone that is impure, like Vishudra, is impure, that person should not be taught the Vedas. Now, that's a problem for this age of Kali, because everyone is born lower than Shudra, so what do? You elevate persons by the chanting of the holy name so that they can become pure. And as they become pure, then become qualified to hear the message of the Vedas and become brahmanas by quality. That's the Bhagavatam's message for us. Tannama grahanadibhi. Discussed that verse yesterday from the sixth canto. The devotional service beginning from the chanting of the holy name is the supreme occupation, paradharma, for all living beings, all human beings. So, while the essence is that Daksha is pointing out behavior that is not becoming of one who has gentle manners, the path of gentle manners, the path of sadhu. While speaking in that way, he's far from gentle manners. A sadhu doesn't speak like this. And the methodology is to raise himself up to make it look like Lord Shiva is down. But the very nature of someone who is pumping themselves up shows that they're lacking in qualification. When Krishna is walking through the forest of Vrindavan with Balaram and he sees the trees and the forest animals and birds, he sees that they have so much appreciation. He speaks like this. They have so much appreciation for you that they're bowing down. They're laden with fruits and flowers, so their boughs, their branches are drooping, offering these nice fruits and flowers at your lotus feet, bowing down. So it's said like that a saintly person, because of their fullness of their qualification, in a humble way, they're always bowing down before others. They're expressing in a humble manner before others. But if all the fruits and flowers and everything is gone, then they're standing up to have other persons see what their barren trees, barren branches. Natural quality of a sadhu, that they're humble. So the absence of following the path of gentle manners is exactly what Daksha is doing. And because the fault is there in his heart, he's seeing that the fault is not in my heart, the fault is in others. They're not respecting me the way that they should respect me. Not good. Not good. This phrase lokapalanam, I'm familiar with it from the fifth canto, where in the center of the description is there that in the center of Jambudweep there's Mount Sumeru, a mountain that is wider at the top and narrower at the bottom, like a cone, with the top part of the cone at the top and the narrow part of the cone at the bottom. And we don't see mountains like that. But there is such a mountain, and at the top there is Lokapala. It's described that there are residences for the controllers of the universe, Lokapala. Those who are administering or controlling the planets of creation. They have a special home there, like a second home, and they have their residential quarters. So, one description of this Lokapala, excuse me, the Mount Sumeru, is as the the Earth is rotating on an axis. It's not, you know, the North Pole, South Pole is tilted at an axis 23 and a half degrees or something like that, if my memory is correct. And the planet is spinning, but something like a top, as the top is spinning, the axis on which the top is spinning also moves. So the Earth is spinning, and the Earth is moving around the Sun, and so the like that, the arc at the top of the axis of the Earth makes this, it's narrow at the bottom and wider at the top. Or similarly, as the Earth is moving, the universe is moving. There's an axis of the universe and it's moving, and Mount Sumeru is that axis of the universe, and the planets are situated along that axis of the universe, or, you know, even horizontally, along the axis of the universe. And the top part of that universe, that as the axis spins, that's this Mount Sumeru, and that its dimensions are given. So you don't see an Earth planet with like an apple with a stick stuck through the middle of it. Yeah, what do you call those things?
Candy apple.
It's not like that. So there's you know, go to the North Pole, you see this big stick sticking up the North Pole, and South Pole there's another one. But it's an axis upon which the Earth is spinning. So one description of this Mount Sumeru is that, and the upper region is where the Lokapala, the administrators of the universe, are residing. And so what Lord Shiva is saying is because Lord Shiva, excuse me, what Daksha is saying is because Lord Shiva is also one of the demigods, because of his misconduct of not respecting me, he's polluting your good name. When it's the other way around, because of Daksha's behavior, he's polluting their good name. it's how contamination works. The contaminated heart is, it's just the opposite of what the person is saying.
Denial big time.
Huh?
Denial big time.
Yeah, projection of one's own contamination upon others. So one has to be very careful. Daksha's not being very careful. And he's going to receive the fruit of this speech. It may not happen in, you know, as with Daksha, so with every one of us, it may not happen immediately. You get, you know, like struck with lightning or something like that. But for speech of this kind and vilification of a great personality, there's a problem that comes your way. Some examples from Haridas Thakur, Gopal Chakravarti criticized Haridas Thakur in a public assembly. Those that were in charge of the public assembly, first of all, escorted him to the door and kicked him out. But it didn't end there, so the lightning came. But because he was humiliated in the public assembly, but later he contracted leprosy for his vicious speech and awful attitude. Didn't happen the next day, but those things come our way, or they come to the person who conducts themselves in this way, and Daksha's going to get it. So it's not that the person who is being spoken of in a wrong way should think, that's okay, keep talking because you're going to get yours, but that shouldn't be our mood. Krishna will take care of you. You're going to get crushed into powder. One should be the well-wisher of that person. There's nice examples of that. Now, someone just to put this into real time, someone just wrote to me. It's not somebody that's in this country, some other part of the world. And they're having an issue with their supervisor. And the supervisor is mean and all those things. So the devotee is superlatively producing for their organization, their company. And so they just did their, whatever you call it, annual evaluation. And superlatively he produced was the report. But he's got social problems. and everybody that works under the supervisor gets the same rating. You know, they got social problems because the person has social problems and they deal with people in such a way it's impossible. So he's not sure what to do. Should I? And some people are saying go to the superiors and, you know, let them at least be aware that this supervisor is hurting the productivity of the company because they deal with their subordinates in such a way. It's so harsh. I'm going on despite that and producing for the company, but you know, you need to correct this person or just be quiet because you just rock the boat and make more problems and what should I do? And this devotee is struggling with that issue. What to do when you're in an atmosphere that has these kind of polluted personalities or persons with polluted mentality, and then they're saying you have a polluted mentality because you don't get along with me or something like that. You're not respecting me, and I'm your superior, so there's something wrong with you. What do you do? Trinadapi sunichena toroi. And it depends. Certainly depends on circumstances. There may be some proper behavior to execute, you know, a responsible kind of response to that person that, at least the characterization that I received is they got a problem. You want, so you, certainly you pray for that person's welfare. Like Prahlad Maharaj, he was praying to Lord Srinadeva, please excuse my father. Please relieve him from the sinful reactions for all of his misdeeds. This is the father that, you know, tried in so many ways to kill him. Please excuse him for his misdeeds. Not only to me, but to so many other people. Please relieve him from those reactions. That's Vaishnava. And Lord Nrsimhadev's response was, that's already done because he's related to you. So ask for something that's not done yet. But being the well-wisher of persons who, behind some bad behavior, they got a problem. And because they have a problem, they're acting out that problem, to relieve themselves of that problem. But it's not going to relieve themselves, it's going to implicate themselves further. But their intelligence is covered, and so they're acting out in some bad way. Practical things need to be done for sure, but the mood behind those practical things should be starting with forgiveness and being the well-wisher of the other person. Then now take a step if it's appropriate, what kind of corrective measure should be done. Well, we'll see coming up what Shiva decides to do in relation to Daksha's business. It's not for himself, when it comes down to it, it's not for himself, it's the concern for Sati, because of the extreme action Sati took. Daksha gets it. The anger of Lord Shiva. Something you don't want to be standing in the way of. The anger of Lord Shiva. Okay, any discussion on this nice subject matter? Yes?
To me, it's clear how Daksha is processing all of what happened. What's not so clear is what was going on with Lord Shiva. What was he thinking about?
Well, it doesn't say.
Sat down and didn't stand up to receive Daksha, knowing his personality and knowing his sensitivity.
Oh, it doesn't say, but provoking. Like Krishna stopped the Indra Yajna. You don't have to worship Indra. Just worship Govardhan Hill, the Brahmanas and the cows. Let's have a big festival. And sure enough, Indra was provoked. And when provoked, Indra behaved like Indra sometimes does. So Daksha behaves. So his we're not Lord Shiva, so we can't imitate Lord Shiva. And okay, I'll just go provoke this person. He'll destroy himself. What's coming to mind is in Borijan's My Glorious Master, he describes Prabhupada being invited to Hong Kong, in Hong Kong, to be a co-speaker with a Mayavadi sannyasi. And Borijan was very surprised, but Prabhupada agreed after asking some questions. And Prabhupada got there first, and there was a big seat and a little seat. Prabhupada went and sat in the big seat, which was intended for the Mayavadi sannyasi. And the Mayavadi sannyasi came in and looked and saw Prabhupada sitting in the big seat and the small seat, and he didn't know what to do, so he sat in the small seat. And then, you know, everybody was, they didn't know what to do, because they wanted the Mayavadi to sit in the big seat. But Prabhupada, so they just controlled themselves. And then Prabhupada spoke, and spoke strongly, you know, God is a person. And then the Mayavadi spoke. Borijan said it was in Hindi, so he didn't understand, but he could see, you know, Prabhupada was chanting on his beads, and at a certain point Prabhupada's body was just, and right in the middle of the lecture Prabhupada started shouting. They told him later, you know, he was speaking offensively toward Krishna. I couldn't take it. Wasn't just going to sit and listen to him speaking offensively. Prabhupada got up and walked out. Something like that. So we can't do that. In a contemporary situation, I forget exactly how it went. Shivaram Maharaj was describing some function that he was invited to at, you know, in the UK, and there was a Mayavadi and sitting next to him, and then when something, I forget the details. When he spoke, it was a little side conversation with the Mayavadi, and simply he was praying to Prabhupada that he would be able to speak the message of Krishna consciousness with, you know, an even voice and with authority from the scripture. And point after point after point, I forget, maybe it was in his Vyas Puja offering or something like that, he describes this dialogue. And the Mayavadi was impressed that, you know, he didn't agree with his point of view, but he was impressed that he knew his stuff and pointed out the flaw of impersonal and pointed out the veracity of personal view. So according to one's position, according to one's capacity, and as Prabhupada said, I can say these things, you cannot, because of his age and his Krishna consciousness, he could say things and say them in a way that we cannot, because it won't be accepted and it will be taken, oh, there's a little upstart, big for his britches, puffed up. So we can't do as a great personality would do. So why Shiva did what he did, curb the pride of and arrogance of this individual, bring it out and curb it. That's good parallel.
And then I have a question, like, in the assembly, so Shiva invited all the demigods, sages and everybody, and Lord Vishnu was also there.
Doesn't indicate.
So what was the, do other sages and everybody agree with Lord, Daksha's opinion of this
thing, or
is there anything
we can do some quick math? 2 + 2 = 4. You know, his behavior is outrageous, and they were most likely understanding this is outrageous. Well, you're the father of Sati, and Shiva married Sati. He's superlative. And this is outrageous what you're doing. That's simple math, but it doesn't say how they felt about what Daksha was saying and doing.
The basis of the whole Daksha Shiva incident to do away with Daksha's narcissism.
Do away with Daksha's what?
Narcissism.
Narcissism.
Extreme narcissism.
Yeah, okay. But that's basically what's been said here.
Because Shiva is called Daksha Suyatna Vinashaka. Or Daksha wanted to worship himself. He said, I'm this grand person.
Yeah, he was puffed up like anything.
Yeah, why don't I worship myself? You know, all the other people are assembled. So I think I'll pay obeisance to myself. I mean, it's like saying we have God within us. So one day we said, why don't we worship ourselves?
Yeah.
And this whole anecdote, parable is to just tell us, even though God resides within us, we don't worship ourselves, but we offer our obeisance to people senior to us and to God.
Yeah. But his issue was specifically uttered here. I'm the father of Sati. He accepted the position of marrying Sati according to religious law. Therefore, he should offer respect to me. That's what it says right there.
Yeah.
Should I read it again?
No, he goes on to say that he lives in a crematorium with...
Yeah, he does. That's the next verse. That's tomorrow.
Yeah, he smears ash on himself, so what should I expect of him?
Yeah.
He has not lost probably his most part.
Yeah.
So he doesn't deserve any respect.
Yeah.
You know.
He's disrespecting.
Yeah.
Lord Shiva. Okay, anything else? Yes.
Bracken, you know, we have something you were saying that was in the temple environment, trained to pay obeisances to one another in the morning. Personally, I like that culture very much, and I'm wondering how do we apply that given a more household trend of the ISKCON community.
When you see your wife and your son in the morning, you pay obeisances. Now you see me, you can pay your obeisances to me. But, you know, because it's respecting the Vaishnava. The culture in the home is that the wife and the dependent child should offer their respect to their husband and to their father, their parents. Now, what does, you know, let's say in the temple atmosphere, I'm the temple president, so everyone should offer obeisances to me, and I don't offer obeisances to anybody because I'm the temple president. So in the home atmosphere, the husband and the wife see one another in the morning and they pay obeisances. Like that. And, depending upon the circumstances, socially, supposing someone comes to your home, you greet them, and you say, please accept my obeisances and offer obeisances. That's in your home. You come to the temple and you see this Prabhu and that Prabhu, and please accept my obeisances and pay obeisances. Or just from a distance, quietly pay obeisances. That's what Chandrasekhar Swami does. People wonder, what's going on? Somebody walks into the temple room and he pays obeisances. It says the culture that he's maintained. Although he's a sannyasi, he pays obeisances when he first sees a devotee. And some temples are maintaining that culture. It's a nice culture. Anything else? Okay.
When they were trying to confirm John Bolton as the UN ambassador 7 years ago, I picked up a phrase.
Who?
John Bolton.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Is that a contemporary person?
Yes.
An actor or something?
No, he was the UN ambassador.
Ambassador?
He was ambassador. They called him a kiss-up, kick-down kind of person. And that's a phrase that has remained in my mind. What it means is we pay obeisance to somebody who we think are superior to us, and we kick those who we think are inferior to us.
Uh-huh.
I pretty much think that's what you're asking us to get over.
Sounds like, sounds like something that we don't follow. Contemporary life. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.